Jesus Christ said in the gospel we have just heard, chanted by Bishop Hovakim, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" The question of Jesus Christ in the gospel is a haunting one for everyone in this great church as we commemorate the martyrs in the presence of so many of the descendants of those who survived the Metzingen, the great catastrophe of 1915. The baptism to which Jesus Christ refers in this gospel reading is no merely ecclesiastical rite. In the original Greek of the New Testament, the verb baptizomai was used of being flooded with calamities. When taxed with his appalling crimes and asked whether he would not be execrated by future generations, Adolf Hitler dismissed the suggestion with a sneering comment, "Who remembers the Armenians?" Historians debate whether he used those precise words, but like so many of the greatest criminals in history, Hitler was confident that as the victors tend to impose their version of history on the vanquished, his crimes would be forgotten. So forgetting the Armenian martyrs of 1915 would be yet another betrayal. And this service in the presence of the President of the Republic of Independent Armenia and His Holiness Karikin II, Catholicos of all Armenians, is a contribution to a year of events which have sought to do justice to the suffering of the Armenian martyrs and to celebrate their legacy. Remembering is a duty, especially in our own day when the sufferings of Christians and other communities in Iraq, Syria, Pakistan, Egypt, and Libya cries out for recognition and for relief. Our act of remembrance this evening is a sign that such crimes against humanity will not be forgotten. The past cannot be changed, but we are responsible for how we remember it. What we extract and carry forward from what has gone before creates possibilities for the future or closes them off. In a sense, we remember the future. In this creative act of remembering, impartiality is not possible, but honesty is a duty. Remembering is not so much taking down a file from the shelf containing some fixed representation of a past event, as it is about recombining multiple sources of information and experience. And that's why the writing of history has always been, in the end, an art rather than a science, although it is an art which must be practiced with proper discipline. Public remembering, in the form of commemorations, like the great national commemorations I was privileged to witness in Armenia itself in April, commemorations of saints' days and festivals, have always contributed powerfully to the coherence and the sense of identity among groups or nations. Who and what we are and what we remember as individuals plays a vital role in forming our own identity. We are sad when, with the onset of dementia, more and more of a person's memories are lost until that most painful point when someone we love cannot recognize us. But amnesia can undo civilizations as well. They die in the night when no one can remember why once upon a time they inspired self-sacrifice. Destiny and history are intimately connected. If a person only has a sense of history without a sense of destiny, they can be very tedious. On the other hand, anyone who has a sense of destiny without a sense of history is certainly very dangerous. This evening, we salute the efforts of the Armenian church and people to secure a just recognition of the sufferings of the past. Everyone who honors the Armenian story is grateful for the courage of people like Hrant Dink, whose work released a flood of memories, especially memories of forced adoptions. The then Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan declared after Dink's tragic assassination, "A bullet was fired at freedom of thought and democratic life in Turkey." But talk about forgiveness when there has been no confession is too glib. But the Armenian story is moving forward. This ancient nation, settled on the Anatolian plateau for millennia, has always demonstrated extraordinary resourcefulness in maintaining Armenian culture and identity despite being threatened by a succession of competing and opposing empires. There are so many vivid illustrations of Armenian resourcefulness, and I particularly enjoy the thought of a party of Western Capuchin missionaries who in 707 arrived in the forbidden city of Lhasa in Tibet, believing themselves to be the very first Christians to reach Lhasa, only to find five prosperous Armenian merchants already in residence who offered to show them around. Jesus Christ, at supper with his friends on the night in which he was betrayed, said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it wasn't an invitation to recall an event which would recede into far away and long ago. They were to remember him rather than dismembering him by quarreling. Nourished by his story, they were to be his members, his arms, his legs, his feet, his hands, so that in their communities, Jesus Christ himself would be really present, opening up a fissure through which God's future could irradiate the world. And in our solemn commemoration and celebration of the martyrs, in the outpouring of compassion for those innocents who perished in 1915, I believe passionately the Armenian people are preparing for great Armenian centuries to come. I saw firsthand moving evidence of what is being done on a visit to Eastern Armenia earlier in the year. There were great events, superbly organized, but the memory which stays with me and inspires me with hope is the visit under the aegis of His Holiness the Catholicos to a youth center in Yerevan, established by the church in a former Komsomol building. The talent and dynamism of the young Armenian contributors to the concert, which we were privileged to attend, especially an unforgettable young duduk player whose bulging cheeks I can see in my mind's eye even now, they were very powerful incentives to believe in the Armenian future. And I was reminded of some words of Catholicos Karikin I. "The church everywhere in the world," he said, "has to proclaim the truth that life is more than food and the body is more than clothing." And he emphasized, as does the present Catholicos, the crucial role of young people in building a healthy, well-balanced church-nation relationship, a harmony, as he said, as a source of regeneration of the spiritual values that are urgently needed by humanity at this critical time. Armenian culture and enterprise have always flowered whenever historical circumstances in the region have permitted. And in our own day, and I think this is a really vital point, as unchallengeable Western hegemony recedes to be replaced by a more genuinely multipolar world, the significance of places like Armenia, which stands at the crossroads of the traffic between East and West, has fresh potential. And then again, in our growing global culture and economy, the presence of the Armenian diaspora in so many lands where they have settled constitutes one of those networks which enriches communications without homogenizing the world. When this abbey church was consecrated in 1269, Leo II had just become king of Armenia, and the alliance between English and Armenian kings was already long established. Armenian expertise in architecture, especially military engineering, especially castle building, had an influence on these islands of the far west. The presence of His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, together with our distinguished visitors from Armenia, promises a renewal and a deepening of these ancient ties, consecrated in the blood of the martyrs and dedicated to the cause of international peace and harmony. In the words of His Holiness the Catholicos, following the example of the holy martyrs and through their intercessions, we are constrained to work together for peace with justice wherever human rights are trampled, wherever faith and identity are fanaticized. In conclusion, one of the most attractive and tragic victims of 1915 was Archimandrite Komitas, who preserved much of the cultural heritage of Western Armenia by his collection of folk songs. He introduced polyphony into church music, and we've heard some glorious church music this evening. He also introduced the organ. He was a figure of European celebrity and significance, who spent many years in Berlin and Paris, and even, I was fascinated to discover from the newly opened museum, even visited the Isle of Wight. Komitas was traumatized by the events of 1915 and never recovered from the great catastrophe. But in his poetry, he calls out to us not only to remember, but to keep turned towards the light. He says, every day take a lantern, keep it bright as the light source of your mind. Again and again, take the inexhaustible fire as the hopeful cord of your heart. May the souls of the holy martyrs rest in peace and rise in glory. Amen.